Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. Today is June 27th, and I have as my guest Patricia Simone. I am not sure whether we are getting this recorded properly or not, but we're going to move forward. Patricia is a certified hypnotherapist, Reiki practitioner, and intuitive counselor. She also is an energy healer, which is a unique ability that we both share. Patricia uses her combined modalities of healing to help her clients live happier and more joy-filled lives. So welcome, Patricia, and I certainly hope this is getting recorded, but at this moment I'm having a little bit of difficulty figuring this out for some reason. Why don't you share with our listeners how they might reach you for both individual sessions and corporate stress management programs?
Sure. Thank you, Lucy, for having me on the show today. And your listeners can contact me either through my website at www.thejewelsofknowledge.com. They can contact me by phone at 631-942-0506, okay, or by email as well at patricia@thejewelsofknowledge.com. Thank you.
Okay, so you are a hypnotist, and I think a lot of people have misconceptions, to say the least, about what hypnotherapy really does. So I wanted you to kind of start the program by explaining what is hypnotherapy.
Okay, sure. I'd be happy to. So the state of hypnosis is a state that all of us go in and out of many times during the day. It's a very focused attention on a single task, similar to when you're reading a book or watching a movie and you're so involved in it and engrossed in it that you're barely aware of things that are going on around you. And through creative visualization or guided meditation, we can achieve a state of relaxation in order to have the client really focus on what's going on with their lives.
Okay, I heard something the other day when I was actually driving home, and what they said was how many times we drive to a destination like work or home, and we don't even realize the commute, so to speak. You know, it's like you start the car, you drive out of the driveway, and the next thing you know, you're at work, or the next thing you know, you're back home. Right. And that period of time, I'm sure, is focused on being on the road, but your mind sometimes is in a state of hypnosis, maybe, at that point. I don't know.
Sure. So driving home is such a routine that when you do something over and over and over again, you're sort of conditioning your subconscious mind to understand this is what we need to do. But many times we get lost in thought. And so when we're lost in thought and our mind is distracted on those thoughts, that can be a state of hypnosis. So where you may not even remember what happened from point A to point B, but you know you went there. That happens to all of us, I think.
What are some of the myths that go along? I mean, you know, we've seen stage productions where they bring people from the audience and they put them in chairs and they say, okay, we're going to hypnotize all of you.
Right.
So what are some of the myths that kind of go along, and why are people afraid of being hypnotized? Because I think a lot of people are.
Yes, I would agree with you. Most people, the fear of hypnosis does come from stage hypnosis, which is a form of entertainment. And so when you go to see a hypnotist as a performer, you know that you're going to be entertained. And so they select very carefully their participants in the show, and the participants know that they're there for entertainment purposes. So that would be the first thing that I would tell you about stage hypnosis. It is theatrical. the people who are selected are aware that they're going to be making the audience laugh. That's part of the act, right? So they're allowing for that to happen.
Right. So, do you think they're really and truly hypnotized, or do you think some of them are just part of the act?
Well, I believe that they are in hypnosis because they do perform little exercises before so that you can select who responds well.
Uh-huh.
So I would agree that they are in a state of hypnosis, but I would also say that the people who are selected are really interested in participating in the show.
Okay.
And so they are not going to allow themselves to do anything that goes against their belief system.
Mm.
So they know that they may be a jokester in their real life.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just naturally going to go along with the suggestions.
Okay. With that kind of hypnosis, how is it different than actually what you do with clients who come to see you?
Okay, so when my clients are coming in to see me, we're not there for entertainment purposes.
They're coming. Are you sure?
Well, it depends. No, they are really coming in to make some life changes. Okay. And so what will happen when the clients are coming in is they want to understand, what does it feel like to be in hypnosis? That's the biggest fear, is am I going to cluck like a chicken or bark like a dog? And what will it feel like to be in hypnosis? Will I remember everything? Will I be asleep? And my answer is no. They'll be very alert and aware, but they'll be very focused on resolving their concerns that are going on. So the difference with clients coming in is they're really ready to make some good changes in their lives that they haven't been able to do through other means of behavioral changes or therapeutic actions. And they're really ready to go in deeper.
All right. So a person that maybe has tried traditional therapy and just has not been able to get where they want to go is what you're saying. So if I had anxiety issues and I had been going to a traditional psychotherapist for that and just had not been able to resolve that, then you might be able to delve into the root of the problem through hypnosis, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So in the state of hypnosis, we work with the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
The subconscious mind is the part of us that holds all of our memories.
Mm-hmm.
And it holds, it's like our motherboard. It is like our hard drive. Our ego, or our conscious state of mind, is a part of us that also wants to protect us, but it's got a little bit of fear and wants to protect us from making changes. So part of hypnosis really is through the use of guided visualization or guided meditation, we get the conscious mind busy and a little bit out of the way, and then we gain access into the subconscious mind, where the root of these anxieties and stressors are really being held. And that's where we can access that memory, find out how old the client was when these belief systems first started to happen, lift it up through energy work and through intuitive counseling and speaking with the client in hypnosis, healing it, bringing it into the light. And once that is lifted and understood with the wisdom that the client has gained throughout their life, then we can incorporate the new belief system, letting them know that they are safe and they can now start to reframe those old anxieties and fears that are no longer serving them.
Okay. So I guess I'm kind of thinking of it like a card catalog system in a way. And like you said, the ego is running around, running our lives on a daily basis, interacting with people, but it doesn't necessarily help somebody unearth a particular anxiety or fear-provoking memory.
Right.
And that's in the subconscious.
Right.
And so with hypnosis, you kind of tool down to wherever that memory is and expose it.
That's right.
And then the person that is under that hypnotic suggestion, maybe is a good way to look at it, they're able to look at it without the fear. You know, they can kind of look at it and go, oh, okay, that's the reason I've not been able to give this up, because it means I've got to change my mindset.
Right.
And if they are not particularly nervous about looking at it, you know, because they are under hypnosis, then they can decide, does this serve me or not, to let go of this.
Absolutely. And hypnosis is, you know, a place in my office. I create a safe space for people. There's a no judgment zone going on there as well. Well, I'm just here as an instrument to help people understand where this anxiety or belief system really came from. Because another thing about the subconscious mind is it doesn't tell time. So if an incident happens when a client may have been 15 years old and they created a belief system about themselves that helped them heal from this incident, the subconscious mind doesn't know that it's over and it's done with. It's just saying, okay, I've taught myself how to manage this as a with the intellect of, let's say, that 15-year-old. But perhaps now at 50 years old, another similar incident is happening as when you were 15, so it's sort of a trigger. And what worked at 15 is automatically brought up by the subconscious mind. This is how we dealt with it the last time.
Okay.
But perhaps that worked at 15, but it may not be the best solution.
Can
at
you
50.
Give, yeah, can you give an example maybe of how something like that might be, so that not by revealing any, you know, particular person, but that's kind of interesting, because as a psychotherapist, I can think of a lot of times when I had a individual who at 15, 16 might have had a sexual encounter, for instance, that was not particularly pleasant.
Right.
And so at that age, be it male or female, you know, they may have blocked, you know, like, oh, okay, I don't want to experience this again.
Right.
And in many instances, you all of a sudden end up with an eating disorder.
Right.
You know, so maybe they pack on the pounds so that they're no longer attractive.
Right.
Or maybe they do something else. But, I mean, can you give an example maybe of what you've seen?
Sure. So in reference to a sexual encounter, if at a certain age, an early development, there has been a sexual encounter that has been undesirable at that time, where, say, perhaps it was forced upon somebody, and it happened perhaps repeatedly, what begins to happen is the victim of that abuse needs to go on and to carry on in their life. And so I've had an example of one of my clients, and had this example of an unwanted sexual encounter, and she was very young, and she started to create this belief system about herself at, let's say, 8 years old or 9 years old, where she didn't want that to happen again. And so she cut her hair short, she stopped eating, she didn't want to have a feminine body. She thought that the less like a female she looked, that she would be left alone and nobody would be interested in her. And as well as what her subconscious mind did.
So what did it do?
So what her subconscious mind did through the session was it needed to put on a mask so that the rest of the world wouldn't see what was happening to her, so that she could go on from that experience and go to school. And she didn't want anyone to know.
So how did she put on a mask?
So the subconscious mind, at the intellect of an eight-year-old, the subconscious mind created its version of what a mask was. And it was a bird's mask and feathers, and it kept her very protected. And so she put that on energetically every day before she left the house.
Now, did she realize she was doing that?
No, because what she did was she wanted to hide. And as an eight-year-old, what does an eight-year-old know to hide behind something, but they know about masks? And that was just the image that her subconscious mind understood that would keep her safe.
So what I'm wondering is, and at any time when she was an eight-year-old, did she consciously think, all right, I've got my protection around me and it is a bird? Or did she just go, okay, I've got to be tough and walk out the door?
So what she did was she knew that she had to be tough, walk out the door. But as an 8-year-old, you're thinking, what is it that I need to do so that nobody can see the pain that I've been experiencing? Okay. And the subconscious mind creates an image that it knows to be true. So that just happens automatically, spontaneously, if you will.
I wonder how it chose a bird, you know, because I'm thinking you could choose a cat, if you had a cat, because a cat has claws.
Right.
So I could defend myself with claws. I don't think you'd probably choose a puppy, because that's cuddly.
Right.
You know, I could be a snake so that I could slither away. I'm just curious as to, did she ever explain why she chose the bird in that subconscious memory?
Well, in hypnosis, you know, everybody's mind has different experiences.
Right.
So it's individual, really. What you may have seen as protection as an 8-year-old can be different than what I observed. Right? So in the session with my client at the time, she only understood as we identified the mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm.
She was feeling something in her neck.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's examine the neck. Oh, it looks like feathers. And how would that get there?
Mm-hmm.
And so the subconscious mind presented, it got there because I put that on you as a cloak to protect you.
Okay.
And so...
So did she see the color of the feathers and
the
texture?
Well, they were black.
Everything
was black.
Okay.
And then the face, the mask, had a very long beak.
Okay.
And it was really to shroud her and protect her.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the during the session, she knew as an adult that she was putting on this protection,
mm-hmm.
only because we discovered it in hypnosis. And through the course of the day, she would wear it and she was safe from people. At the end of the day, when she was home from work and she got back to her safe space, her subconscious mind showed her on a beautiful bluff where she took off the costume,
mm-hmm.
if you will, the protection.
Mm-hmm. The protection, yeah.
And underneath she had a beautiful white gown on, and she was able to be free at the end of the day when she no longer needed that protection.
And so from the time she was 8 years old until at, 50?
In her mid to late 40s.
40s,
yeah.
Okay. So all during that time, she always took that protection with her out the door.
Subconsciously. Right.
And then released it when she came back home.
Right. And this was all done subconsciously, so she knew when she got home to her room, she was safe. But it just takes either repeated instances of trauma,
mm-hmm.
or one huge instance of trauma that mm-hmm. you ask your subconscious mind, or you just ask, how do I get through this?
Mm-hmm.
I need to hide myself. I don't want to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And your subconscious mind will just do what you ask in the intellect it has at that time.
Do people ever put on, you know, a mask for other reasons other than maybe trauma?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so what are some other examples where maybe the, you know, mask that they're using, the uniform of the day that they go out into mm-hmm. the corporate world with,
yes,
is no longer serving them, is not allowing them to maybe be the happy, joyful person that they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the wake-up call for them?
Well, a lot of times that wake-up call is anxiety and the hamster wheel that goes on upstairs
mm-hmm.
in your brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want to make the changes. They don't feel happy with where they're at in their life. But because of repetition over and over, putting on that corporate mask, going into the office, being the best that you can be, and then suddenly at some point deciding this really isn't what you want to do anymore, the fear kicks in,
mm-hmm.
and they're unsure of how to make those changes. They're just, their mind is just experiencing all the fears that can happen, all the things that can go wrong through the change. And that's where a lot of the anxiety comes in, when the intellect understands, of course, I can make these changes, but the subconscious mind has been patterned to believe one thing about itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not ready to, it doesn't know we're going to make these changes yet. So through hypnosis, we can go in, understand what truth the subconscious mind believes, and can we reframe that? We're ready to make some changes now, and we can bring the intellect into alignment with what the subconscious mind is believing. So if we can release the old pattern of, I go to work, this is what work looks like, I need to be perfect, I need to be all of this, and there'll be no allowance for any kind of change, we've already narrowed our box, right? We've kept our vision small. Now when the change wants to come, we have a hard time letting go of that old belief system.
Well, and it sounds like the old belief system was always there to protect.
Correct.
And so if you give way to, you know, change, then that protection, at least on a subconscious level, you know, the person is feeling very vulnerable.
Correct.
Like, oh my goodness, I am really putting myself out here and I can be hurt in a major way.
Right.
So that's...
It's true, because when people create an image of themselves and they think this is what they need to be, and they strive so much to become that thought or idealism that they have, any kind of straying from that may make people feel less than.
Right. Right.
And what will happen to me? And they start to worry about the bigger picture.
Right. Right. That's, you know, a tremendous need to always be in control then.
Right.
You know, because at the minute that you let your guard down and you're no longer in control, then again, the vulnerability raises up. So you have to have tremendous faith.
Right.
That, and I'm thinking that a lot of people, in order to get to that place where they have faith either in another person or in their career or in themselves, you know, ultimately it's going to be in yourself, that that you can rise up to the occasion and you can be your best person without the need to put on, you know, the mask or the cloak or, you know, whatever it is that you're protecting yourself with, whatever that design is. Do they get, like, I'm just thinking, how long does it take for a person to get that aha moment when, you know, because they are under hypnosis, right?
Right.
And so even though the subconscious mind is revealing this at some level to the ego, is it 2 sessions, 3 sessions, 6 sessions? At what point does the person actually begin to go, I want to begin really looking at this from my ego and not just from my subconscious?
Right. So that's a great question. Everybody progresses differently throughout their journey. And the subconscious mind really presents to you what you can handle in that moment. So if something would appear to be too overwhelming, it may give you glimpses and pieces of the story so that you can process it. Right, in your conscious mind, because you're always aware in hypnosis, you do remember your session, and you will get a piece that you need. But I would say that my clients will have clarity in each session.
So they take that with them.
So they will have something to take away with them, an understanding of, wow, I've been doing that for this long, and I can't believe that that is still affecting me today. And then, you know, hypnosis brings something up into the light so that we can understand it from a new level of awareness.
Right.
But we do need to keep in mind that when clients leave the room, they need to take their lesson with them. Right. So what happens in a session should not just be, oh, okay, that's done. We really want to process that and understand, like, how has that affected my life so far? Do I really want to make these changes? Am I ready?
Right. So, and that's the key.
Yeah.
Because I would think, again, going to my own practice that I had for over 30 years, is some people simply are not ready.
Right.
You know, and they need to hang on to whatever it was they were hanging on to, even though it is not serving them any longer. And they, they realize that at a conscious level.
Right.
But they just can't quite let go of, it's kind of like Linus and his blanket. They can't let go of that blanket, no matter how dirty it is, no matter how, you know, torn it might be. They're not willing to let go of the blanket. Right. And so it must be a little bit like that for some of your individuals, where right. even if the facts are there, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
they just are saying, I'm not sure I can do this.
That's correct. And I will give you another example, if I may.
Sure.
I had a client a couple of years back coming in who was trying to shed a lot of the trauma that she experienced as mm-hmm. a young girl. And in a hypnosis session, we came upon something that was really causing her a lot of pain in her heart.
Mm.
And the mind does work in mysterious ways. And let's just imagine energetically, this was incorporated with an energy healing, that there was a thread going through her heart that was creating a lot of heat and pain in her heart energetically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, upon realization of this, we always ask if the client is ready. I mean, I don't demand anything mm-hmm. of my clients, mm-hmm. but what would that feel like if we took this hot thread that is searing your heart and we just energetically removed it?
Mm-hmm.
And she really wasn't ready to do that.
Right.
She wanted to keep it. So
did she understand the reason she wanted to keep it?
She understood that, you know, even though it was causing her pain, she wasn't ready to let it go just yet.
Right. I'm going to interject a story that I actually did with mm-hmm. Paul last week, because it fits here too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've heard this in the past, but it was about a man who was walking down a street and he mm-hmm. saw an elderly man on a porch with his dog, and he went up to say hello
mm-hmm.
and the dog was moaning. And so he asked, why is your dog moaning?
Mm-hmm.
And the older man said, well, he's laying on a nail. And he could have, you know, certainly gotten up. He wasn't
right.
hooked to the chair, so he had to lay on the nail. But
right.
because the dog was comfortable there,
mm-hmm.
I think it's like people. You know,
yes.
you can be comfortable with health issues.
Right.
Because you go to the doctor and talk about them, or you go to your therapist and talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not willing to make the changes to make the pain go away.
Right.
And that's kind of where she was, is what I'm hearing. Is that
absolutely.
She needed to hold on to that discomfort because okay. that's what she knew.
That was comfort.
Mm-hmm.
That was, right, that was her normal.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people are afraid because they just don't know what comes next.
Right.
If I give this, right, then what?
Uh-huh.
Then who am I?
Right.
And I have to recreate myself and, you know, blowing all out of proportion.
Exactly.
Because they want to know the end result.
Right, right.
The really important thing to remember is that you only need to take the next step on your path.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the courage to get to the next step, the next one will show up.
Will show up.
And we're all so geared for having to, in this world, plotting out our entire future.
Right.
And it has to look a certain way. And suddenly we don't like the way it looks anymore. And everything has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Procrastination, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get stuck on that one step in our path. And
right.
we don't know. What do we want? We don't even know what we want.
Well, and that's true. A lot of times, I think, certainly with families that I've worked with, and especially young teenagers, young adults in general, you know, they're being asked to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
When they're 18, yes. 19, 20, 21, you know, you're starting college. Mm-hmm. What do you want to major in? And they don't even have a clue.
Right.
In many, many cases, they kind of have a general idea that, you know, I'm artsy, I'm into music, I want to write. You know, for some people, they've always known they wanted to go into medicine. They've
right.
always known they wanted to be you know, in the ministry work. But I would say that 90% of kids graduating from high school really don't know.
Right.
And yet we're asked to make those decisions
mm-hmm.
and plot our careers. And then told that we need to start a family at a certain time.
Right.
And that, you know, so we have all these needs that
right.
we kind of grow up with. What do you find is the typical age? Because I know for me, it's usually when the kids are leaving the nest.
Mm-hmm.
And there you are with mom, maybe still dad.
Mm-hmm.
There's no longer a focus on raising children or any of that.
Right.
I mean, you still have your careers.
Right.
But in many instances, the couple has lost track of who they are with each other.
Right. And even with themselves.
And even with themselves. And so now their definition of mom, you're always going to be a mom, but you're
right.
not a full-time mom at home anymore.
Right. Suddenly that position, you're always going to be a mom. And when your kids grow up, it transitions mm-hmm. after a while that you're the mom friend.
Mom friend, right.
And dad friend. However, during the time that you're raising your children and the time that they leave the nest, a lot of things do happen.
Right.
And a lot of people give up their individuality. And so when the children do leave the nest, there's, you know, sadness because that time of your life is over.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, now what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You may have the career. Well, maybe you just had that career to bring in an income.
Right.
And what do I really want to do? I'm not happy. I have too much time on my hands. All the things that you've buried or put aside, if you will, during the course of marriage and family time
mm-hmm.
now start to bubble up.
Right.
All the things that, well, I wasn't happy a bit about this or that or the other thing. Well, now you have this time that your mind starts to lift those things up into your level of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And another funny thing is that the conscious mind goes out and collects evidence in order to support those belief systems.
How would it collect evidence?
Oh, see, I hate this job, and look how bad these people are at work. I really need to get out of here. That would be a collection of evidence, right?
Okay, all right.
Well, there's always traffic on this road, and this is why I shouldn't be driving so far away. Mm-hmm. I need a job closer to home.
Okay.
And maybe you've always wanted to work closer to home but didn't have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the time to say, ah, look at this traffic. Every day it's worse and worse. And every day you do the same thing and you're data collecting.
Right.
And you don't realize it.
Right. And so, I can see where, you know, husbands and wives, I think that must be the midlife crisis,
right.
You know, for both of them. Because right. once you get to that age where you maybe have agreed that you aren't that compatible
anymore,
then it's easier because you're going to say, well, the kids are grown.
Right.
They are certainly old enough to manage without maybe both of us here.
Right.
And I'm sure data collecting definitely fits in there.
Oh, it definitely does. Because at that point, you know, who wants to be the first person to have that conversation?
Right.
Right? Because you know what? Maybe you have a pretty good life in a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're not sure what your lifestyle would look like.
Right. If you separate.
Right. Or maybe you expect your partner to have the same old response system,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but maybe they won't.
Mm-hmm.
So your fear sort of gets in that way of making the changes.
Yeah. Do you ever work with couples then? You know, that are, because certainly that was one of the areas that I worked with a lot. But I'm just thinking with hypnosis,
mm-hmm.
maybe unearthing those belief systems would keep the couple together.
Yeah, and I can give you a wonderful experience that
okay.
I had back
okay.
in New York while I was working with some clients. I had my first couple come in,
mm-hmm.
and they were a young couple. They were in their mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
They had young children, and they were collecting money, and they were collecting items, and they're collecting things. That was what we do, right?
Right.
And they were getting all this stuff so their kids would have everything they wanted.
Okay.
But suddenly it started to dawn on them, and their children were early, in early education, so kindergarten, and maybe a 4-year-old or a 3-year-old. They realized they were losing their connection.
With each other.
With each other.
Uh-huh.
And so they came in for a group hypnosis session, and I had them, you know, get nice and relaxed. And one of the things that was so great was that they realized they were slipping away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
That they were so busy working and parenting and all the other day-to-day needs that at the end of the day, they just were going to bed at night and not really feeling any connection.
Right.
So they had a session. And in the session, you know, I don't use a script. So many times it's just you're guided into what the client needs. And in this particular case, we went back to the point in time when they first fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're probably aware, doing energy work,
mm-hmm.
you're not only does your mind know that moment, your subconscious mind will present it, and your body feels that emotion of love
mm-hmm.
as if it's happening right then and there.
Right.
So they're both able to experience the moment they fell in love with each other. There were different moments, and I asked them each to share those moments, and they did, and they felt so much love and joy after that, that it started them on that new path of starting to really appreciate each other and taking that time at the end of the day to just look into each other's eyes and just say thank you for today. Mm-hmm. And that was their experience, was being able to say, hey, look what we're doing.
Right.
You know, let's stay connected even just for 5 minutes at the end of the day.
Right.
And those 5 minutes in the morning. So, and they came in for quite a while, and it was just progressing so well and so nicely that it brought them back together to remember that they were the core. That's, mm-hmm. you know, they were really important and they were forgetting.
Right.
So most of my clients are individual or corporate stress management, but occasionally the couples do come in.
That had to have been really rewarding and fun.
That was fun, because even I was feeling the joy watching mm-hmm. them with their eyes closed, nice mm-hmm. and relaxed, and you just receive so much joy seeing that that connection happen for them.
You know, this is an area that certainly is important for people to recognize, that if you get too caught up mm-hmm. in your work or in just your lifestyle, and you have forgotten where that connection comes from.
Right.
But I love the fact that you were able to help them reconnect first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. which doesn't necessarily mean that they're having, you know, sex with one another first thing in the morning.
Right.
But it's just that little bit of time that they could just lay next to each other,
right.
just touch one another, just say, look, I'm so glad you're in my life.
Yes.
And then doing it again, you know, as they fall asleep. And it is that moment of gratitude for one another, that each of you is contributing to a beautiful picture.
Right. And just, you know, deeply looking into each other's eyes and mm-hmm. and seeing and connecting with that person you're creating this life with.
Right.
And this was really instrumental in coming from them.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do in the morning? What can we do at night? How can we cherish each other?
Right.
And so...
And appreciate one.
And appreciate, right. And so that is very rewarding. Not everything that happens in hypnosis is always a heavy emotional release.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There was an experience I had. I do talks every so often.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I was getting bored with my own talk. And I always like to do a little experiment with an induction and see that, show people that they can get into the state of hypnosis very easily,
mm-hmm.
that they can receive information immediately that can benefit them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really getting tired with that little scenario, so I decided to change it. And actually, it was really fabulous, because I had my audience imagine that going back to the last moment where they felt an abundant amount of joy. And as that moment was lifting up for everybody, you can see the look upon their faces, and they smiled and feeling the warmth, like asking them, where does that show up for you? Everybody started touching their heart, and it was wonderful. And I wouldn't say, you know, there's no accidents, but after the talk, which I end with the session like that, so then I bring people out of the guided meditation, everybody loved it. They said it was the best talk they ever heard. So I understand, like, you know, setting the tone for the joy at the end.
Right.
But everybody went home smiling, feeling joyful, feeling lighthearted.
Right.
And so you can remember, if people are having a hard time, we've all experienced joy, love, and happiness. And when people are in such a state of maybe despair, let's just show them what it felt like again, that they can actually feel that again.
Right.
And have that hope, you know, that your body remembers how to do it.
Have you ever worked with somebody who has forgotten, at least,
mm-hmm.
the joy that they did experience at one time in their life? Because, again, I'm kind of thinking back. There was a person that I worked with a number of years ago who actually had 17 personalities.
Wow.
And it was a direct result of sexual abuse.
Mm.
She was a victim of her father and of a lot of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, it went on from the time she was about 5-6 years old until she was about 14. So, yeah. And so she had all of these different personalities. Some were combative, some were very innocent, some were very hurt, very suspicious. But I mean, I probably saw out of the 17, I think I might have seen 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. Most of them were recessive, mm-hmm. and so I was never allowed to see them. But there were a couple of them I was actually a little afraid of, mm-hmm. and most of them were just, they didn't want to be integrated because they would lose who they were.
Right.
And so that was a part. But when I would try to help her find those times when she was happy or when she was joyful, it was almost impossible for her to remember that because the right. abuse started so early.
Right.
And so have you ever run into that where somebody just could not identify with a happy moment?
Right. So to answer that in the use of hypnosis, and I'm not mm-hmm. sure if you're able to get there with that,
mm-mm.
up to a point before she was 5 when the abuse started to happen, I would want to explore those years and see if there was anything there. Now, I don't always go back to find those joyful moments, so I haven't exactly experienced not being able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, when you're in such a relaxed state and those memories start to float up for you, your body will give you that feeling. It remembers.
Mm-hmm.
So
even if you mentally, in your ego mm-hmm. state, can't remember, the body still remembers.
Yes, because that subconscious mind holds every single memory, every mm-hmm. event, every feeling. And, how do we know that? Another question I would say is, well, you want to be happy. How do you know what happy feels like?
Mm-hmm.
Let's define happy.
Right.
For
and
you.
Not everybody has the same feeling of happiness, right?
Right. And oftentimes in life, when we're looking to make changes, a lot of times my clients will say, well, I just want to be happy, or I just want a loving, kind relationship.
But they can't define what that is.
So, yeah, I say to them, well, tell me what happy looks like for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Right, so it's this vague thing that they know they don't have.
Right.
But they want.
But they want it. And that really gets people to sit down and become present with what is happy for me.
Right.
What does that look like? How will you know when you're happy if you don't know what happy looks like?
Remember the song Happy that was out about 3 or 4 years ago now?
Yes. That makes you feel happy, right?
Right. I mean, that song music. Did for a lot. Music did.
Yes, music can bring that joy and happy feeling to mm-hmm. our hearts and into our lives,
mm-hmm.
and happy can be a state of mind, right? Mm-hmm. We set our intentions in the morning. Today's going to be a great day, or today's another Monday. I can't,
right.
What we tell ourselves is sort of how we're setting ourselves up for our day. That self-talk.
Yeah, I'm wondering too. Something that I had people do, and I would think you might do the same, especially with. Using hypnosis, is I have people journal.
Mm-hmm.
So those memories that are going to be emerging from
right.
the subconscious, if they could learn to just even carry a small book in their purse or,
right.
Backpack or something, where as something would emerge, it wouldn't have to be even sentences, just words
right.
that would come to the surface that they might want to look at later.
Right.
And if they, there is a gal I have mentioned her a number of times on the show in the past, but her name is Janet Connor. And Janet wrote a book that was called Writing from Your Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a soul talk, quite literally, that you have with yourself. But it had some form of ritual to it,
mm-hmm.
in that you would pick a time. And it was like a dedicated time rather than just a random time.
Right.
And you would sit with maybe a candle, certainly a glass of water so you didn't have to get up, a pen, paper, or a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And you would write whatever thoughts came through your mind,
mm-hmm.
because that was your soul talking to you. And so that works extremely well.
It does, yes. Automatic writing, creative,
mm-hmm.
letting the words just flow as they're coming.
Right.
And I do recommend that to my clients, because after a session, typically, and not for everybody, because every session and every individual is different,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times when you lift up an old block or something that's been energetically sitting on your soul,
mm-hmm.
let's say,
mm-hmm.
after you leave, a day or two later, you might be sitting in your car and suddenly you can get your own aha moments.
Right.
And, really write down, what's going on with you so that you can understand it and bring it back into the next session.
Right.
Because I'll get people coming in, and before we start a session, occasionally, or as we're just about to get into the hypnotic state, I have an idea that today's focus or today's plan is going to be uncovering something mm-hmm. that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And suddenly the client might say, my throat feels really tight right now. Well, now I just changed tracks because what's going on with your throat?
Right.
Because
right.
we want to see, well, the throat is our communicator.
Right.
If it's getting locked up, then are we going to be able to access?
Now, do you ever use, because you and I are familiar with crystals.
Yes.
But your throat is your throat chakra.
Right.
And the throat chakra has a lot to do with the color blue.
Yes.
And so using lapis or using something mm-hmm. of a blue stone or a blue crystal.
Yes.
If they were to carry that with them.
Right.
And kind of let the crystal or the stone help them unlock. Some
yes.
of that. Do you ever do that?
I do
them?
Recommend it to some, depending mm-hmm. on how open they are to the
to
crystals.
Those, right.
I have people, a lot of times people come in and they're, you know, they have a lot of pain in their heart.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
a lot of times I'll recommend, and even during the session, I'll use the rose quartz crystal
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because we know that that is healing for the heart.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And so, yes, I have recommended, and I've also done it for myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
At times where I may need a little extra boost.
right, yeah. Yeah, the chakras are so interconnected with all of this. And mm-hmm. then with, you know, this show, helping people understand that whole mind-body connection, that it's mm-hmm. it's not just those two. It's the spiritual aspect, it's the emotional aspect, it's the physical.
Right.
And so a lot of these, like we mentioned a little earlier, but a lot of these issues can manifest themselves in the physical, whether it's a tightness in
absolutely,
the throat
yes.
or heart conditions. We know that for a fact that actually when you let emotional issues eat away at you, so
mm-hmm.
to speak, that is a hallmark for many, many different types of cancers.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
So emotions that, you know, we're struggling with, if they're manifesting on a physical level, that it's important to look at them before they end up eventually killing you.
Absolutely. And many people carry those fears and anxieties or belief systems in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So where you may have somebody who was always told as a child to be quiet, that their opinion didn't matter.
Right.
Right.
You were to be seen, not heard.
Right. And then as an adult, not being able to express themselves.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, and then what's going on with the throat? I always have a sore throat. I never know why.
Right.
Right. And so, or I have lockjaw. And I will tell you that I have clients that come in that have TMJ and they are able to actually see as an adult what is going on in their jaw and energetic. Somebody just came in. Well, I had an old client who went back to examine his jaw because he had a very difficult time expressing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And as a young child at 8 years old, he said, I can't talk. I better lock my jaw shut.
Oh.
And as expressing it in hypnosis, what's going on with the jaw? He saw two locks there that his subconscious mind just did to lock his jaw.
Because if he spoke, he got in trouble?
Right.
Okay.
If he spoke, he got in trouble, regardless of what he had to, you know...
To say.
Mm-hmm. And so he just learned to keep his mouth shut. But by keeping all of those emotions in, don't you think he had stomach problems?
Yes.
Yeah. So he had a lot of stomach problems that were going on. And we were able to take those locks off, those energetic locks, and experience freedom, but now opening up your voice, now you need to learn how to use it.
Right. And sometimes it's like Katie bar the door.
Right.
You know, they start saying things they really shouldn't say.
Right, exactly. So we can then, our throat chakra can get very overly expressive
mm-hmm.
because now they can be heard.
Right.
So, you know,
you have a lot of the anger coming out and
right.
just those volatile feelings that you've been keeping inside for so long.
Right, right. And then during hypnosis, I suggest when we're opening up a throat chakra or releasing those locks that the suggestion and the reframe now becomes you will be able to express yourself freely and lovingly
mm-hmm.
in a manner that you are accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we want to keep them in a nice safe space.
Uh-huh.
Right, and not getting themselves into trouble with that overly expressive voice.
I'm envisioning a male or female that suddenly can say what they feel,
right,
going into maybe their employer and expressing what they like or they don't like,
right,
and finding that the door is being shown to them.
Right.
So, yeah, before you go expressing yourself, learning how to express yourself probably,
right,
is going to be extremely important.
Exactly. Exactly. And sometimes that takes a little bit of work because someone may now feel vulnerable being able to express themselves. And we all know nobody enjoys feeling vulnerable.
Right. No.
And so then just learning how to safely express yourself in a way that can help you speak your truth.
Yeah. I think that's incredibly important.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to ask it kind of a strange question, maybe, in a way. But some people are going to think of hypnosis as maybe that magic wand.
Oh.
Okay. And so you wave it over them and poof, you know, they now have Cinderella's life and, you know, the pumpkin is now this beautiful Maserati or whatever. So, I mean, how can hypnosis be used in a way that really and truly helps people fulfill their lives so that they can have, again, that life of joy, happiness, health, wellness?
Right.
I mean, you know, because we all work together to make those things happen.
Right.
And I think each of us is bringing in a little piece. And the way I have looked at this so often is this is like a beautiful, magical quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And we each have our piece of the quilt.
Right.
And that,
yes,
we're putting it together so that people truly have the ability to live a life that is rewarding to,
right,
them. And I think so many individuals at the end of their lives, you know, you've heard this before, they're not going to wish that they had more money, that they had more things.
Right.
You,
right,
know, they're going to wish that they had taken time to really,
right,
be with one another,
mm-hmm,
to be with Mother Earth, to have experiences.
Right.
That's what they're going to wish for,
right,
because now the time is gone.
Right. And that's what we all want when we're thinking about how we want this happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't involve rushing everywhere to get those things done.
Right.
It's really the quiet moments. And as you mentioned, hypnosis is not a magic wand.
Mm-hmm.
Hypnosis helps us understand past behaviors, release old traumas, and heal them.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other modalities, whether it's going out into nature, writing, more talk therapy with somebody else, reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's all cumulative because in order for us to go out there and achieve those moments of joy and happiness, we have to know that we can go do that.
Right.
Right? And we have to know what does that look like. And, you know, we all want that money in the bank. But when we're sitting out on the beach or we're spending time socializing with a friend, we're not really thinking about that money.
No,
no,
not at all.
It's not, you know, it's comfort knowing that it's there. But in order to really enjoy that is also to be mindful.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we're sitting here today and we're very present and we're engaging. And that's where we really need to be in our lives is present.
Mm-hmm.
In this moment that we have right now.
Right, because really that is all you have.
Right.
That moment, right that second.
Right, exactly. And if we're sitting here worrying about what's in the future or things that happened in the past,
mm-hmm.
we're missing out on the present, which is mm-hmm. the gift, right,
which is
that
the gift
we all have.
Right.
And so all of those things combined, it includes bringing the mindfulness and, as you said, the quilt.
Mm-hmm.
We can't live on just one thing.
Right.
Right? That would be wonderful if we could, but that's not the life that we're in now. We do need all of these things to help us with the holistic approach.
Right, right. And I, one of the things that I always bring, you know, back to people is, you know, if you go to synergyconnectionradio.com, one of the things you will see there is a direct link to the Boomer website, because if people don't have their health, and
mm-hmm.
so many people today don't.
Right.
Not just because they maybe are eating incorrectly or, you know, they have familial inherited
mm-hmm.
links that are weak, but they're not taking the time again
right.
to basically do what they need to do to be healthy.
Right.
And so I encourage people to go to that website and look at some of the blogs, look at the videotapes, because so many of the common ailments that people have, whether they're diabetic or high blood pressure, are related to stress.
Mm-hmm.
They're related to not taking the time to take care of themselves. And if you don't have your health, the rest of it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference.
Right.
Once your health begins to deteriorate, you're not going to be as concerned about relationships,
right,
other than the relationship you have with yourself,
right?
Because you're doing everything you can just to survive.
Absolutely.
So I certainly hope people take a few minutes, you know, to go explore that, sign up for the health newsletter, because there is just a wealth of information on how we can take, you know,
right,
personal responsibility for our health,
right,
and not give it away to the medical profession, because I'm just amazed constantly at the number of inaccurate things that doctors are saying,
mm-hmm,
to their patients trying to get them on medication.
Right.
And for every single prescription that's out there, there's probably 20 different side effects that you don't want.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
You know, that's another, you know, key here for, you know, just our general wellness. And then with hypnosis, I would guess that if somebody is coming to see you with weight issues,
right,
with eating disorders, with not just the emotional problems that they need to uncover, but maybe work-related situations,
mm-hmm,
every aspect of their life, they can come in and maybe begin to expose whatever that underlying belief might have been,
right,
that was keeping them stuck.
Right.
And then you can unearth it for them.
Right, right. And then they get to take the action steps. Because,
mm-hmm,
you know, with that, like anything else, once we understand something, we do need to take those next action steps in order to reach the goal.
Right.
We can set a plan.
Right.
And we may be able to visualize the outcome. But we do need to take the steps between today and the outcome.
And the outcome. So a little bit of a map of,
yeah,
this is where you are.
Right.
And maybe that's that first entry in their journal. Is,
right,
this is where I am.
Right.
And this is where I might like to be eventually. And then,
right,
you know, the Candyland kind of a
orchestration.
A road,
right,
yeah,
exactly.
Of how we want to get there. So.
Right. And, you know, with every plan, too, we're allowed to take a, you know, a side trip once in a while.
Right, right.
Right. Without being too hard on ourselves, because,
right,
we are human.
Oh, there's always those fascinating little roads that go off, and you just kind of go to yourself like, wow, wonder where that one goes, you know,
exactly,
and then you go find it. And maybe there is an amazing rainbow at the end of it. Who knows?
That's right. That's,
yeah,
right. Sometimes you have to take the side road,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Remember the road less traveled?
Yes.
I mean, when that was out all those years ago.
I love the road less traveled, even in my own life. If everybody's going down that path and this one looks interesting,
uh-huh,
I'll go down that way,
right,
just to see why is what's over here.
Right, right.
And it's always something wonderful.
It is. And I think, you know, we have to be not like lemmings. You know, we have to be able to kind of be willing to, I don't know, just be brave enough.
Not to follow the crowd all
not
the time.
Not to follow the crowd. I have never been a follower.
Right.
Which at times was a benefit,
mm-hmm,
and at other times maybe not so much, because,
right,
everybody liked to be doing the same thing, and I was always kind of like, well, I'm not so sure about that.
Right.
I think I'd rather do this over here.
Right.
But, well, listen, it has been wonderful having you. I'd love to have you come back and talk more about hypnosis and how to use it in your life to create the life that you want to live, because that's what we're all about here on the Synergy Connection Show. So you want to maybe give them a phone number or something where they can reach you just at the,
sure,
end of the show?
Yes, and thank you again, too. I just wanted to say it was fun being on the show today. I appreciate that. And if any of your listeners are interested in reaching out, they can reach me at 631-942-0506. They can email me at patricia@thejewelsofknowledge.com. Or visit my website, www.thejewelsofknowledge.com. And thank you again. It's been wonderful being on today.
Oh, it's been a treasure. I'm sure we'll see more of each other in the future.
Thanks.
Everybody go out there and make it a wonderful day. Make this your best life. Bye-bye.